Open your Bibles here tonight to the book of Mark, and I don't usually speak on this topic, but in the times in which we live in, I don't know how to explain some things that we have happening in our nation other than to look at this passage of Scripture here tonight. Before we get to Mark chapter 5, let me just ask a question. Are there some things happening in our nation that are hard to explain? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It defies thinking clearly and logic and just what's right and proper and good. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not even with chains. Because that which had been often bound with fetters or shackles and chains, and the chains had been plucked or broken asunder by him, and the chains broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Let's pray here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at this portion of Scripture, God, may you guide our thoughts here tonight. And Father, may the word of the Lord have increase in our hearts and lives. Help me be a vessel, honors your Son and honors your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would be encouraged with our spiritual growth. And I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us in the way we should go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, did my mic drop out, Nate?
Yeah, it's coming back up.
Okay. All right. I'll just talk louder here for a minute. Okay. Now, we have an encounter here with a man in Scripture. Did this man have some problems? Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how severe was his problems? Yeah, it was off the charts. I mean, this guy was off the charts with problems. And the thing, what was the deep-seated issue in this man's life? What did he have that was affecting him so severely? He was possessed with a demon. Are demons real? One of the greatest lies a demon can get you to believe that he's not real. Okay, now, with that being said, we don't go to the extreme that there's a demon. If you get a flat tire in the morning, a demon didn't give you a flat tire, okay? All right? If you understand what I'm saying, there's not a demon under every rock, and everything that bad happens to you, a demon did. Okay, we don't go there. But on the other extreme, some people totally ignore Satan, his demons, and the working of our adversary. And we do have an enemy of the soul, and that's Satan, who wants to bring us down and destroy us. Satan goes about as a roaring what? Lion. What do lions do? They chew you up. They tear you up. And this passage here, now, I want you to look at Scripture here. In verse 35 to 41, look at verse 35. What's the last two words of verse 35 of Mark 4? In the midst of that, now, we don't know this, but look at verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind of chapter 4 of Mark, and the waves beat the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not we perish? I tell you this, in the demonic world, the minute you want to do something for God, watch out. Satan's going to try to hinder you. You want to teach a Sunday school class, and you'd be amazed what can go wrong trying to get your lesson together to teach a Sunday school class. You want to do something for God, Satan's going to always find a way to hinder you, slow you up, detract you. Now, for us as believers, we need to understand, do we have authority over the kingdom of darkness? We do. Where do we get our authority from? Holy Spirit, Christ. Christ says all authority. In Matthew 28, all authority has been given to who? Jesus Christ. Are we part of his kingdom? We are. Now, okay, we have authority. What's the difference between authority and power? 435 down to the end, the storm came up to hinder them. How strong was it? Well, they thought they were going to perish. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, and could bind him, no, not even with chains. Now, think about what had this man lost in his life? What had he lost? Look at this passage and describe what are some things he had lost. What, Victor?
He lost lots of things.
Okay.
He lost his family.
Family?
Community.
Community.
Church. Salvation. Everything, you know, can take it away from him.
Taken away. What does a thief come to do?
Steal.
He steals from you what he wants. Satan is a thief. What did Satan steal from this guy? Everything. That's what Satan wants to do to people. He'll suck the life right out of you. Now, one thing we're not told, how did he ever become demon-possessed? It doesn't tell us. But I do tell you this, people that go down the road of drugs and alcohol and those type of things, guess what you've opened yourself up to? Demonic spirits. You've opened yourself up to them. There's been an explosion of the occult movement across America. And Nancy and I have known some people that have been involved in the Wicca movement. Wicca, am I saying that? How do you say it? Wicca, is that how you pronounce it? The thing about it is, the more God is removed from our culture, it's like Tony Evans says, when you kick God out, you invite the devil in. Is that true? That is so true. When you kick God out, guess who's going to come in? The devil's going to come in. And we see it everywhere. But what we want to do is protect ourselves, protect our loved ones. Don't open up the door to Satan. Now, drugs, alcohol, all that arena can open yourself up to satanic influence. Now, Satan's a liar, is he not? He's a total liar. And sometimes, what we don't want to do is for Satan to steal from us what is rightly ours. Now this man, he lost everything. And he had an unclean spirit. He had demons inside of him. Now, look at verse 3. Whose dwelling was among the tombs where dead people are. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with shackles or fetters, chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him and broken in pieces, neither could any man tame. How did he have the power to just break chains like that? How did he have that power? The demons inside of him. Now, we want to protect ourselves. What we want to do is make sure we have a good prayer life. We want to make sure that we're walking with God, that we don't do anything to give the adversary a foothold in our life. There's an old saying, if you give the devil an inch, he becomes what? The ruler. Do you get how that works?
Yes.
You give him an inch and he becomes what? The ruler. And what we don't want to do is give him an inch in our lives. Just don't go there. Just don't go there. Now, this man is terrible, terrible position. But verse 35, Jesus wanted to go to the other side. Chapter 5, verse 1, he got to the other side. And this man came out. And now, I want to read verse 5 here, and I want to see if anybody picks up something here. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying. And what else was he doing with himself? I've met young people that have been cutters. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are some young people, they have to cut themselves because they've got so much internal pain inside that it's almost a release to them to hurt themselves. Now, can you see how the thinking is all messed up there? But that's reality today. There was a man in this church one time that came and his daughter was a cutter. He told me about it. Now, why would she do that to herself? Is her thinking right? No, Satan's got a grip in her. And somehow, sometimes we read scripture, but we don't read, this stuff is real, but we need to be aware. But we don't need to live in fear because greater is he than is in us as believers than he that is what? In the world. And we have that protection. We have the power, we have the authority vested in us as believers in Christ. Well, he was cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou," what's that next word? Torment. Now, demons know that there's a judgment day coming. And these demons didn't know if their judgment day was here. You know, it's amazing in Scripture at times the demons cry out that he's the Son of God. If you read some passages, it's right there. And it's right here again. Now, the man's condition was terrible. Jesus had compassion on the man in verse 1, because that's where he was going the other side. He had compassion, and the condition was terrible, but he gave the command in verse 8. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Now, what if you just deal with the symptoms and not the source? What if they try to put clothes on this man and try to teach him how to live right and all these things that they do to help people? Was society, because it said to them that they had often bound him with fetters. There were people trying to help him, but guess what? How much help that did him? Not one little bit. Where was the problem at? Internal. Not external. It was internal. It was spiritual. Now I'm going to read a testimony here. Neil Anderson wrote the book Bondage Breaker. I don't know if anybody's read that, familiar with it. And his ministry kind of just went this way. He didn't plan on it, but he had understanding of satanic possession and oppression. And he shares a story here in his book on chapter 5. He said, Mary was a 26-year-old flower child from the 60s. She was a Christian and university graduate. But she had severe mental and emotional problems that developed after her father divorced her mother. Within a period of 5 years, Mary had been institutionalized 3 times, was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. She went to see him to try to get some help. After 3 weeks of counseling, Mary finally told him about her struggle with snakes. And this is what she went through in her oppression. I said, "What about the snakes?" Neil Anderson asked. "They crawl on me at night when I'm in bed," she confessed. "And what do you do when the snakes come?" he asked. She said, "I run to my mother, but they always come back when I'm alone." He said to her, "Why don't you try something different next time?" he continued. "When you're in bed and the snakes come, say out loud, 'In the name of Christ, I command you to leave me.'" And Mary said, "I can't do that. I'm not mature or strong enough." And he said, "It's not a matter of your maturity. It's a matter of your position in Christ. You have as much right to submit to God and resist the devil as I do." He said Mary squirmed at the prospect, but I could tell she was afraid, but she finally agreed to at least try it, since she had nothing to lose. Next week, Mary came in, and she said to Neil, "The snakes are gone." And he said, "Great. Why didn't you tell me about them sooner?" She said, "Because I was afraid they would get you too." Is that the way Satan works? He will get you so wrapped up, and the things that will set you free, you just get so twisted up. Now, Jesus came to this man here, and he looked at this demonically possessed man. Verse 8, he said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." He dealt with the problem. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, a legion is a group of Roman soldiers. How many is in a legion? Yeah, 3,000 to 6,000. That is a lot of demons. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils, the demons, besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." Now I want to stop and talk here a minute. Jesus forthwith gave them leave. Now, the devil and his demons, they just as soon occupy a man as a pig. But you know when they occupy a man, they make a man into a pig when they get into his life. Do you see how? One of the things here, Jesus was giving them a visual example here. When I cast these demons out, because you can't see them, But I want to give you a visual example that they were real inside this man. And so what he did, he allowed them to go into the herd of swine. Now, okay, a little side note here. Some people say these were Jewish people and they shouldn't have been kept in swine, so it was there. You know, he was punishing them. But the only problem is, where is this country at? The country of what? In verse 1. Gadarenes. That's Gentile country. Now, it's possible we could have Jews living there, but by and by, it's probably Gentiles owning these swine. I don't think it was because he was punishing some Jewish swineholder. I think he was making a visual example. I want to show you these demons, because they're going to go out of this man and they're going to drive these swine crazy. So he said, okay, you can do this. He gave him leave. The unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down in the steep place into the sea, which were about 2,000. They were choked in the sea, killed them all. Now, they that fed the swine, what's that next word in verse 14? And they fled. Why? They flee because, oh no, what am I going to tell the owner of these swines? I lost every one of them. They all died. I got a problem on my hands. They fled and told it to in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what was done. When they came to Jesus, seeing him that was possessed with the demons and had the legion, the many demons. Now tell me, what was he doing when they came? In verse 15, the first thing, he was what? Sitting. What's the second thing? Dressed. He was dressed, he was clothed. What's the third thing? His right mind. Does that sound like a healed man? That sounds like a healed man. And who did that? Jesus Christ did. The power of God. Some people are so hopeless, the only thing that can help them is the Son of God to deliver them out of their bondage. That's the only hope they have. Now, he's sitting. He's not cutting himself. He's not in emotional turmoil. He's not running around naked. He's clothed and is in his right mind. He's thinking right. And guess what? What's the last word in that verse? They were what? Afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they didn't know what to do with this guy. They knew who he was when he was running around crying and the tombs cutting themselves. They knew, but all of a sudden, this guy's changed and they were afraid because all of a sudden, guess who showed up? God did. And they didn't know how to handle that. Because this, all of a sudden, this deliverance of this man, then they were afraid. They didn't know how to process this. And they that saw it told how it befell him and possessed with the demons and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray or request to depart out of their coast. Now, verse 17, I got this little words in my Bible I wrote in there. They missed the blessing. Do you see what I'm saying? They missed it. They had Jesus Christ there. They missed the blessing. They should have said, why don't you come to my house? You know, why don't you come on? Why don't you tell me how you did this? But you know, when you're dealing with some unsaved people, they can have the power of God right there and they totally miss it. They don't even see the blessing. They miss the blessing. Because what do? They ask him to leave. Depart. Get out of our coast. You're upsetting the norm. Okay, it's the abnormal normal. You're upsetting the abnormal normal. It was abnormal this man was possessed, but that was a normal state of things, and now you've made it normal, which makes it abnormal, and that makes us, why don't you leave? We can't handle this. And when he was coming to the ship, now, Jesus Christ, if you invite him into your life, he's going to come. If you tell him to leave, he's not going to be part of your life. You have that choice. And they didn't want him. He got back in the ship. And he that had been possessed with the demon begged him, prayed him, worshiped him, wanted to be with him, that he might be with him. The devil, when the demon prayed him, that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus allowed him not, but said to him, didn't suffer him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and that he had what? Compassion. Now, Has God saved you from your sins? Has he delivered you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light? Has he done that for you? Why hasn't God taken you to heaven right now? Why are you still here on earth? Well, it's not our time. He's not done with us. He's not done with us. He's got something he wants us to do. Because if he was done with us, guess what? We'd be in glory. But if you're here, he's got a purpose in your life. One of the lies of the devils is to tell you, you don't have a future, you don't have a purpose, God can't use you. That's a lie of the devil. Because if you're a saint and you're here, God's got a plan and purpose for you. And he didn't want this man to ride in the boat. He said, you go home. Because there's a lot of your friends that aren't going to believe that you're in your right mind, clothed and sitting. But you tell them what great things God's done for you. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Is your salvation a great thing? Wow, that sounded so weak. Is your salvation a great thing?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So tell others what God's done for you. He's had compassion on you. So what did this man that was cutting himself, living in tombs, who'd lost everything in his life, verse 20, and he departed and began to proclaim it, to publish it in Decapolis. Decapolis means the 10 cities. And that was the 10 cities here, Decapolis. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did what? What's the last word there in 20? They marveled. Whoa. You mean you used to live in the tombs and, you know, can you imagine the stories this guy could have told of how the demons tormented him? His mind was all twisted up and how all of a sudden he's in his right mind. You know, I wish more people get a hold of verse 19. Do we have a story to tell as God's people? We have a story to tell. And we're here because he wants us to tell that story. Now, you're probably going to meet people in your life that they don't make any sense to you. They do things that are totally contrary to common sense. But you give them the gospel. Can Jesus Christ set the captives free? Absolutely. He can set them free. Well, let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage here, we know, Lord, you can set the captives free. You can break the chains of darkness in people's lives. So, Father, help us as your people to take the authority that we have in Christ and the power we have in Christ, that we can take and live victoriously in Christ. We don't have to be fear of Satan and demons. For, Lord, they're subject to your name. And that's why, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, because we have power and authority. So, Lord, help us to claim our authority we have in Christ. Help us not to believe the lies of the evil one when he tries to make us fearful and tries to discourage us and try to get us off the straight and narrow path. God, help us to claim our authority in Christ and to live victorious and to be overcomers. And, Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ empowers us and works in and through us to give us the victory. So, Lord, I thank you that you can use us, and I pray that we would share what great things God has done for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Bob, you want to come in?